Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. He is alive. And of course, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday a couple of weeks ago. But for the Christian, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And so praise the Lord for that special this morning. And I trust that you've already sensed the presence of God here in this place and God speaking to your heart through the music. I invite you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Ezra in chapter 8 today. Ezra in chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I wanted to give you a little bit of a context or background of the book of Ezra very quickly. Ezra is one of the historical books detailing of the Old Testament, detailing the children of Israel and the work that God was doing in their lives. The book of Ezra was written by Ezra, we believe. He was a priest and a scribe. And Ezra would lead the second return of the children of Israel from Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem. And in our Sunday morning Sunday school hour right now, we're studying Nehemiah. Nehemiah would lead the third return 13 years later after the text that we're reading this morning. But here in chapter 8, Ezra is getting ready to set off on this journey as he leads the children of Israel, several thousand of them, back into the promised land. So if you found your place this morning, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word today, if you're able to. We're going to read Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through verse 23. The Bible says in verse 21, "Then I, Ezra here, proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Let's pray, and then you can be seated this morning. Lord, as we do come before you today, we're grateful for who you are. We're grateful, Lord, as the song told us this morning, that we can bow the knee to you. Lord, that we can come before you and we can seek your presence. Lord, we're thankful for the example from the scripture of Ezra, Lord, proclaiming a fast and calling upon you for your help in their journey. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us that have gathered here today. Lord, we have not come just to, spend some time fellowshipping. Lord, we've come to hear from you. And I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, give me liberty to be able to speak what you desire for me to speak. And those that have come here, Lord, I pray that you'd open up their hearts to receive what you would have for them. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and for the fact that you would meet with us. And Lord, we pray that you would do that this morning. It's in your name that I pray, amen, and you can be seated. As I mentioned here in our text, Ezra was getting ready to leave Babylon and head back to Israel. In fact, as we study the context of this, it's pretty amazing that God was working through a worldly king, a wicked king, King Artaxerxes. In fact, go back to chapter 7 if you would. I want to give you a little background here, because in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 12, the Bible says, Artaxerxes, he was the king of Persia at that time, king of kings unto Ezra, the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. And of course, we understand that Israel had been under Babylonian captivity. And God began to work, and God had freed them, and God was working through Artaxerxes, this worldly king, to be able to authorize this return. And so Artaxerxes, he makes this decree that Ezra would lead a return of several thousand. In fact, in chapter 8, it goes down in details all that of the men that would go with him. But God would work through the heart of the king to authorize this, so that any of their own free will who wanted to go with Ezra back to their homeland could. Not only did he authorize this return, then he appointed resources for the return. Go back to verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, and to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Not only does he say you can go back and I'm authorizing a return, then he appoints resources for the return. And as we read on, we would find that the purpose of these resources was twofold. First of all, he appointed some to go as an offering to God. Look at verse 17. That thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. God takes this worldly king, he's working in his heart, and he appoints resources. He says, the first thing I want you to do when you get back to your homeland is go buy sacrifices and offer them upon the altar of God. It's pretty incredible what God is doing here in this passage. The other purpose of these resources was basically to be used for whatever else the children of Israel needed. He said in verse 18, and whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. God is working all the details out here. He's working through a worldly king to authorize a return of God's children from captivity back to their homeland. The land of Persia, the group of Persians, they're financing this return. And essentially what we see here is that God has basically, through the hand of the king, given a blank check to Ezra to basically finance this thing and do whatever they desired with that. The Bible says in verse 23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. And then the king gives his reason behind this. He says, for why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? What you'd find as you study this passage is that King Artaxerxes wasn't particularly fond of the children of Israel. Didn't really want them to have their own homeland, but because he feared their God, he made a way for them to go back. And so we see that God is working through the heart of the king. And you look at this passage and listen, all we can say is only God could do something like this. This is God. And all of us have been in those situations in our life. You look around and you say, only God could do something like this. Maybe you were in a valley and God brought you out of the valley and you say, only God could do something like this. And that's exactly what we see here in this passage. But I want you to recognize something here. You see, God had so provided for Ezra through the hand of the king that it may have been easy for Ezra to trust in the blessings and the resources of the king rather than continuing to trust in God. I want you to get that. I want to say this one more time this morning. Listen, God had so provided. I mean, we would look at this passage and we see God is providing. God has made a way for them to go back. God has provided the resources. God has worked in the heart of a worldly king, a wicked king, to be able to do this. And it may have been easy. The temptation may have been there for Ezra to trust in the blessings and the resources of the king, so much so that he forgot that it was God that had done all that. And can I tell you this morning, as I think about our own lives, sometimes I'm afraid we have it too good. We have too many blessings. You see, listen, for Ezra to be able to leave Persia, make an 800-mile journey back to Israel with thousands of Israelites, it didn't matter what resources they had. Listen, for them to be able to make it successfully, they needed God in their life. They needed God's presence along the journey. And can I tell you this morning, listen, the great temptation as we live here on this earth, as we live in America, the land of opportunity, sometimes the great temptation is to think, well, I have it pretty good. I mean, you come in this morning and do we not as Americans, God has blessed our nation so. God has blessed us. Many of us this morning, many of us would come in today and you don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. In fact, you may already have plans for lunch today. You may already have the restaurant picked out or you may already have the food cooking at home. But listen, we don't worry about those kind of things. Most of us don't have to worry if we're going to be able to afford rent this next month or be able to pay for a home. And many of us, our health is good. You look at your family and things are good with our family. And listen, if we're not careful, we can forget that it's God who's done all this. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. Listen, if you're a Christian today, every blessing you have in your life is from God. And I would say this, if we desire His continued hand of blessing upon us, we must recognize our need for His presence daily in our lives. And yet the great temptation of the devil is to enjoy the blessings and forget about where they came from. Ignore the presence of God in our lives because things are good and we have it good here. And yet as I study this passage, Ezra does something here in Ezra chapter 8 that I believe was of utmost importance to ensure a successful return. I mean, he has everything he needs. He's got the hand of the king. He's got the resources of the king. And yet, the passage or the text that we read this morning, the Bible says Ezra calls for a fast. To ask for God's hand on his journey. To ask for God's presence on his journey. In fact, he even had the resources of the king's soldiers and horsemen. And yet he rejected that because he desired God's hand to be on the journey. You see, there's a powerful truth in this passage. It's found in verse 23. He says, "So we fasted and besought our God for this." What were they beseeching God for? For God's presence in their lives. "We fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Here's the truth. When God's people fast and pray for his presence, God always answers. When God's people, there's some qualifiers in that statement. It's got to be God's people. Well, listen, God is not obligated to hear the prayers of those that don't know him, those that have rejected him. God is not obligated to hear their prayers, but the Bible tells us that his ears are open to the prayers of his children. When God's people fast and seek his presence, we must be seeking him. We're in this month of prayer and fasting and this awareness and praise the Lord for it. But listen, unless we're fasting for God's presence, unless we're fasting for God's purposes and God's plans in our lives, we're wasting our time. We must be seeking him. God's people fast and pray for his presence. I love this. He always answers. The truth of Ezra, he says, we fasted, we besought him, we asked him for his presence, and he was entreated of us. He heard our prayers. Listen, this morning I want to point just a couple things out from this passage that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the reason for the fast. The reason for the fast here in this passage. We find the reason Ezra gives it to us in verse 21. Ezra fasted to seek God's direction, to seek God's plan. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance." I can't imagine the pressure that was on Ezra at this time. I went through and I did a little bit of math as you read chapter 8, the beginning few verses. He gathers the tribes that were there and they gather all their men together, and there were 1,700 men that would make this journey with him, along with their wives and their children. Several thousand that would go in this journey that Ezra was leading. Listen, this was not a trek across the street. It was not a trek across town. We've been studying Nehemiah. It was an 800-mile journey with enemies along the way. It would take them 2 months moving at just a normal pace for them to go. And yet Ezra says, listen, if we're going to make this successfully, we must have God's hand upon us. This morning, as we approach prayer and fasting, we have desires that we want God to do in our life. But as we pray and fast, we must be seeking him. We must be seeking His plans and His ways. Can I tell you this morning that God's plans and God's directions are always right? The way God leads us is always right. In fact, in Solomon chapter 18 and verse 30, let me read it to you very quickly this morning. Solomon chapter 18 and verse 30, a familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." I love that idea, that God's word, listen, the way God leads us, it's a proven way, it's a proven path. The Bible says He is a buckler. That word buckler means a shield. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. I tell you this morning, as we go to God and as we place our faith and our trust in Him, as we fast and as we are aware of what we have going on in our lives, may we seek His direction. I love that Ezra specifically points this out. Listen, God, we have to have You in this journey. We have to have You. We have to have Your presence. Listen, despite all the resources they had at their disposal, nothing would replace the presence of God. The might of the military of King Artaxerxes, it may have been powerful, but it wasn't God. Nothing would replace the presence of God in their life, and Ezra was wise to recognize this and proclaim a fast. They had everything at their disposal. Realistically, they had a blank check. They really didn't need anything else, but I'll tell you what, they couldn't leave without the presence of God in their journey. I couldn't help but think about our church as we embark upon our 36th church anniversary. And the victories and the battles in the past, in which some of you watched God do remarkable and amazing things. And then I think about the last year. What a year it's been. Remember where you were last year? You weren't in here. You were sitting on your couch, probably dressed in a suit, right, for home church. I remember last anniversary Sunday, what a different day it was. And yet I think about what God has done in the last year and how we look this morning and see that God has once again assembled His church in this place. What a blessing. Then you begin to think about what God has done in bringing new families into the church. And I think one of the things we've been reminded, and we knew this all along, but listen, no program can replace the presence of God in this church. You can't manufacture something. We can't just put together some songs and manufacture a sermon and say, well, we just expect that things will be the way. No, we have to have the presence of God. And I think what we've been reminded over and over again over the last year is this is God's church, and He will build it when we invite Him and His presence into this place. And yet, can I say this? Listen, when God is blessing, as He is right now, that's not the time to stop fasting and praying. No, that's the time to begin fasting and praying. And realizing, God, You've done all of this, and God, You've provided for this, but for us to continue and for us to move forward into another year of life and ministry here in this church, we must have Your presence in our lives. We've got to have You. You know, sometimes we view prayer and fasting as a way to get out of a difficult situation. And again, I know Pastor preached on this last week, this kind. There are these kind of moments in our lives. There is this kind of a valley that we must walk through in which we realize that I need the Lord's presence in my life in a greater way, but I want to also get you to understand this morning, these tools of prayer and fasting are not just available in difficult situations, they're also available and should be used when God is blessing. We want to recognize His hand of blessing and His hand upon us and how He is leading us. A true fast for God's help, a true fast for God's presence removes any preconceived ideas about how we think God should work. You know, sometimes we have our own plans in place, don't we? How many of you would admit you're a stubborn person this morning? How many of you admit the person sitting next to you is a stubborn person? Many more hands went up on that one. The truth is, sometimes we approach God in prayer and fasting And we have a way we desire God to work. But how many of you realize that God sometimes doesn't work according to our plans? Doesn't lead according to our plans, but he always leads in the best way. When we fast, we're seeking God's help. Did you notice that from the scripture? They said, God, we need you. We desire to have you in our journey. We can't do this alone. We can't. I can't take the amount of people that I'm taking with me. I can't be responsible for this group of men and their wives and their children and all their possessions unless your presence is seen with us. Listen, if you truly have given your situation over to God, if you've truly sought his help, then trust his direction. Trust his answer. I love the song this morning. When you bow the knee, listen, we can simply trust what God is doing and what God is leading and how he is leading in our lives. The reason for the fast was to seek God's direction. But I also see here in this passage, one of the other reasons for this fast was that it would serve as a testimony to the power of God. Look at verse 22. Ezra says, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." I believe he had access to the king's military. And yet God didn't lead him to ask for the king's military. I believe that God called him to take a step of faith. Listen, Ezra had the resources of the military in their presence. But understand this, more trustworthy. Ezra had the power of God. Ezra had the presence of God in this journey, and I can tell you this morning, it would have been a step of faith. I can imagine some of those men that said, Ezra, we have the king's resources, but we're not going to use those. I can imagine some of them maybe scratching their head because maybe they didn't have the same amount of faith that Ezra had to launch out on this journey with the presence of God and God leading him. But can I tell you this morning, listen, military might can be defeated, but God has never lost a battle. I love the song that our church sings, "Our God is victorious. He always wins." And I tell you, you can do no better than having the presence of God in your life and in your journey. Listen, money may come and go. Blessings may come and go. The things that we have in our life, we may go through valleys, but I'll tell you this, and every time you've been in a valley, you've experienced his presence. God is always there for you. We must have his presence. So we see the reason for the fast, and very quickly, number two, here in this passage, we see the requirement for the fast. The requirement for the fast. He says, "I proclaimed a fast there," in verse 21, "at the river of Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God." The requirement for a fast for them was the removal of a comfort. That word afflict, it comes from a Hebrew word that is translated other times in Scripture as the word humble. The idea there is that they would remove something that they enjoyed, something good that they had in their lives, so that they might focus on God. Again, during this month of prayer and fasting, we have done suggested fasts. We did a coffee fast, and many of you realized how dependent you were on that cup of coffee in the morning. And then we did a bread fast, and then a dessert fast. And I remember last night, my wife was preparing desserts for the kids' auction tonight, and I was doing a lot of praying last night. Hadn't been around sweets all week long. We just didn't have them in our house. And then last night, all the temptation that was there. And then this next week, we'll go into a TV or a social media fast. But the idea is that we would remove something that we enjoy so that we might focus on something that is better than that, the presence of God. That we would remove something that we would enjoy. The Bible doesn't reveal what they fasted here. It possibly was some type of a food, or maybe it was food altogether for a day or two. But it does reveal what they did instead of what they removed. The Bible says in verse 23, "We fasted and besought our God." The time that they would spend enjoying that, they sought after God. They sought his presence, his help in their lives. The Bible says they entreat, that word besought, it means to entreat or to implore. I mean, they were getting a hold of God, and you can imagine why, because they had this journey that was coming up, and they had this way to go, and they needed God's presence. It's a requirement for a fast. But I also see another requirement here in this passage. The recognition that I need God's help more than anything else. Listen, when we fast, we're recognizing this. I love that cup of coffee, but I need God's help more than I need that. Or whatever it is. In my journey, as I'm going through life, Lord, I need your presence. I tell you, the removal of a comfort was absolutely necessary because they had everything they had need of. I mean, they had the money. They had the provisions from the king. They even had military might if they wanted to use it. And by the way, can I say this? It would have been easy to leave God out of this journey because they had everything. It would have been easy for them to march forward and never even be mindful of the fact that it was God who placed these resources in their hands. If they were to continue forward, that it would have to be God that was leading them along. But they had everything and they could have left, and it would have been easy to leave God out of this journey. But they recognized this: I need God's help more than anything else. I tell you, this morning as we approach prayer and fasting, that's our first thought. God, I need your help. I need your presence. I trust that during this month that you've been made more aware of getting a hold of God and getting his presence into your life. And yet we see this. Listen, a fast will remind us of the need for God's presence in our lives above all other things. It's so important. Finally, this morning, we see the reason for the fast and the requirement for the fast. But finally, this morning, the result of their fast. Well, the first result that we see there is verse 23. We fasted and besought our God. Can I tell you, in this fast, they drew closer to God. Listen, a fast, when approached the way Ezra did it, will always result in you growing closer to God. During the month of prayer and fasting, that's our goal. To draw closer to God. And it sounds like such a simple thing here, but the truth is, when we remove something from our lives and we focus on him, we're gradually drawing closer to God. Can I tell you, before salvation, God begins to call you. God begins to work in your heart. He sends his Holy Spirit to convict you and to draw you closer to him. And many, your testimony was this, that God was convicting your heart and you called upon him in salvation and asked for him to forgive you of your sins, and you entered into a relationship with him. And that's wonderful. That's one of the greatest days of your life, the day that you would accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I'll say this, after we're saved, the Bible tells us that we can be as close to God as we desire to be. In other words, listen, God will not impose himself upon you. God will convict you. But this morning, you're in charge of how close you are to God. In fact, I want you to turn over to James in chapter 4. James in chapter 4. The Bible says in James in chapter 4 and verse 8, James is writing to Christians. He says this: draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He says you're responsible for how close you are to God. God never moves. God is there for us whenever we would need him, and we go to him, but it's our responsibility to move towards him. And so we draw nigh to God, and then God draws nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God says to us, listen, you can pursue me with your life, and you can pursue me with your relationship with me. And I'll tell you this morning, listen, you're in charge of how close you are to God today. Some would say, I wish I could grow closer to God. Well, if you're saved this morning, you can. God says for us to draw nigh to Him. The way that Ezra approached this fast, it resulted in him drawing closer to God. I love what Matthew Henry wrote about this passage. He said this, for never any that sought God in earnest sought Him in vain. During this month, I trust as you have sought God, that you've realized yourself growing closer to Him. So why would we stop? Why would we stop when we get to the end of April, that this practice of prayer and fasting in our lives, that we would continue to have that so that we could continue to have the presence of God in our lives in greater ways along this journey? We see the result of the fast was that they besought their God, but the other result is that He heard their prayers. The Bible says at the end of verse 23, we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. He responded to them. That word entreat means consenting to grant what is desired. Listen, when we leave it to God, we trust in the way He moves. But here's what you can ask for. You can ask for God's presence in God leading you, and that's exactly what they asked for. They asked for this. The Bible says we fasted and besought our God for this. We were beseeching His presence, and He was entreated of us. He gave them His presence. I love, we go down in verse 31 and verse 32. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And He delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. The Bible doesn't tell us what battles they faced, but the Bible says God did deliver them from the enemy. God's presence was with them along their journey. And they came back to their homeland of Jerusalem. Listen, can I tell you this morning, when we fast and pray for God's presence, God always hears and God always answers. When God's people fast and pray for His presence, He hears that prayer and He answers that prayer. Some Christians have said this, it just doesn't feel like God is hearing my prayers. I feel like maybe I pray and it bounces off the ceiling and it comes down. I just feel like I'm not getting a hold of God. Let me ask you this question this morning. What are you willing to give up so that you can seek God in even greater ways? What are you willing to remove from your life in order to call upon Him? Can I tell you, every time I've fasted, I've seen God's hand at work. Many of you would have the same testimony. When we set out to fast and we pray, listen, sometimes it's differently than the way I thought God would work. But I've also always sensed His presence in the midst of that. And it's always according to His best plan. As we conclude this morning, I would say this, fasting is a necessary spiritual discipline. Something that God gives to us as His children in order to draw closer to Him. And some this morning, you've come and your heart is burdened about something. Maybe it's a decision that has to be made. Maybe it's a bill that's due, or maybe it's a medical thing that you're dealing with, or maybe it's a relationship type of thing that you're dealing with. And there's a burden that you're carrying this morning. Can I tell you, you need God's presence as you deal with that? And one of the examples from Scripture is that when we fast and pray for God's presence, God always answers. And maybe there's someone here this morning. Say, Brother Andy, to be completely honest, God has blessed. And praise the Lord for that. Can I remind you this morning, that's not when we stop fasting and praying. That's when we continue fasting and praying. Because as God has blessed in the past, and God may even be blessing right now, if we want to continue to see God's hand of blessings upon our lives, we must have the presence of God in our lives. No matter what it may be, God gives to us the extension of prayer and fasting in order to see Him work. The Bible says in verse 23, So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. When God's people fast and pray for his presence, God always answered. Can I have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Fasting and prayer. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I do know this, you need God's presence in your journey. Some would come this morning and maybe you're dealing with a difficulty. Others are dealing with blessing. But all of us the same as God's children must have God's presence in our life. So he gives to us this example of Ezra, who had everything he needed. But what he could not leave without was God's presence. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the way that you work in all of our lives. And Lord, we're thankful that we can have your presence. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, help us to make the decisions that are needed to be made here in this place. Lord, may none of us leave without asking and beseeching you for your presence in our lives. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.